few hashmatas, and then we'll move on to some new stuff. We spoke about last time the idea that for the Rambam, it could be that atzad nachash is not considered malacha she'in tzricha l'gufa. I don't want it to be bitten by the snake. But the Rambam feels malacha she'in tzricha l'gufa is chayiv, so how could he say if I don't want to be bitten by the snake and I trap the snake, that I'm pater, it's mutter, it should be malacha she'in tzricha l'gufa. For the Rambam, you should be chayiv. So we explain that it could be because kavana plays a central role by tzad, as it does by other malachos. And that could be linked to the fact that tzad has to be, that it's not just I want to trap the animal has to become accessible to me, and if I don't want the animal to be accessible to me, so then it loses its significance. So I just wanted to add something to that. We also mentioned last time the Chachamim's opinion that by tzad you're chayiv even if it's ein b'mino nitzod. And Rameir disagrees, and he says, no, only if it's yesh b'mino nitzod, the other way around. According to the Rameir, I think you're chayiv either way. If it's ein b'mino nitzod or yesh b'mino nitzod, and according to Chachamim, it's only if ein b'mino nitzod, it's only yesh b'mino nitzod. If people normally do trap that item, that animal, so then you are chayiv. If people normally do not trap it, then you're not chayiv. So Rashi there says a different explanation for this rule of ein b'mino nitzod. Either way, it's also Midr Rabbanan, but Rashi there says a different explanation for that rule. Why should it be so? The only chayiv of yesh b'mino nitzod. So Rashi says because if it's yesh b'mino nitzod, people normally trap that animal, then they probably have a constructive use for it. All this is an extension of malacha she'ein tzricha l'gufa. If people don't use the thing that they're trapping for anything, so then you're potter, like every malacha she'ein tzricha l'gufa. And if people do use it for something, you'd be chayiv. So Rashi basically says this is not a rule, a hard and fast rule of whether people trap it or not. It's whether people have a constructive purpose in mind or not. Tosas there disagrees and he says, no, this rule goes above and beyond that in both directions. Ein b'mino nitzod applies even if I do have a constructive purpose for it. And even if I don't have a constructive purpose for it, if it's yesh b'mino nitzod, so I could be chayiv for Rabbi Yehuda, the malach she'in tzricha l'gufa is chayiv. Because sure, I don't have a constructive purpose for it, but this animal is yesh b'mino nitzod. What do you mean? Right, it is.
How do you make an exception in this case? Like, you have no intention of trapping it.
Malacha she'in tzricha l'gufa means I did the malacha, I just didn't have in mind the constructive purpose. Here, I didn't do the malacha. If I don't have kavana, kavana plays such a central role. If I didn't do the malacha, it's nothing. Some that you find that by certain malachos, the kavana plays a central role. That's part of the definition of malacha.
Yeah. If it's the vino nito, even though I was trapping it not for...
I don't have a constructive purpose.
Right, so how do we...
We didn't put those two ideas together. The fact that kavana plays a central role with yesh b'mino nitzod and ein b'mino nitzod. Let me finish and then we'll sum up. So Tosfos feels ein b'mino nitzod versus yesh b'mino nitzod is a hard and fast rule, and a constructive purpose is something on top of that. The problem is the Rambam seems to hold like Tosfos, because the Rambam quotes this rule of yesh b'mino nitzod versus ein b'mino nitzod, even though he paskins malach she'in tzricha l'gufa is chayiv. If he feels every malacha she'in tzricha l'gufa is chayiv, whether I have a constructive purpose or not, why is he quoting the rule of yesh b'mino nitzod or not? Doesn't make a difference whether it's yesh b'mino nitzod or ein b'mino nitzod. Unless you say that this is a category in and of itself. Even for Reb Yehuda, if it's ein b'mino nitzod, I can't be chayiv. He holds like Tosas, that this is a separate category, above and beyond whether or not I had a constructive purpose or not. So the Avnei Nezer asks, why should there be a special rule like this by Tzad, that it's only if this type of animal is generally trapped? So I would have said, because if it's generally trapped, people use it for things. If it's not generally trapped, people don't use it for things. But the Rambam and Tosas seem to say that no, it's whether people trap it, even if I... don't have in mind the constructive purpose, and if people don't trap it, even if I do have in mind the constructive purpose, why should there be this type of rule? So the Avnei Nezer explains, because tzad is really one of those interesting types of malachos that I don't change anything. Nothing changes. I could have an animal right here. Let's say I have a little mouse over here. The mouse is just sitting on the table. Then I come and put a cup on top of it. The mouse didn't change at all. The mouse is in its same place. The only thing that changed about the mouse is that now it's under a cup. But vis-a-vis the mouse, nothing changed. So there's really no change brought about by this malacha of tzad. For example, also the Tzvi Pesach Frank in the back of the Har Tzvi has his Tel Harim, the 30 commented, you know, Ha'aris on the 39 malacha. So there on malacha of tzad, he discusses, let's say someone did tzad on Shabbos, would it be usher to benefit from that malacha? Generally, if one cooks on Shabbos, so you're not allowed to benefit from the cooked food, because the cooked food was only brought about through a malacha. So if I eat the food, I'm benefiting from the malacha which happened on Shabbos. What about here? Person traps something, can I use that trapped animal on Shabbos? Am I benefiting from it or am I not? Is that called benefiting from the malacha or not? So he says no, because the malacha didn't change anything. I'm not benefiting from the malacha. This item was here. The malacha just put a cup on top of it. So the Isra of Maisa Shabbos, benefiting from malacha which happened on Shabbos, would not apply to tzad. He compares this to a Rashba. The Rashba is quoted by the Bir Halacha in the beginning of Hilchos Bishul, that if I bring something, if I do hotzah, let's say on a key, I carry a key through the Rishus HaRabim to my apartment building, and then I open, use. Now I'm standing from the apartment building. Let's say I didn't know hotzah was usher on Shabbos. Someone said, how'd you carry the key through the Rishus HaRabim? Whatever, anyway. Even if I knew, let's say I knew the hotzah was usher, and I wanted to violate Shabbos. And then the guy is Mehayar B'tshuva, he's about to open the apartment building. Can he benefit from the key? So the Rashba says, yes, because the malacha didn't change the key. The whole issue is benefiting from the malacha. Here, the malacha just got it from point A to point B. That's why Hotzah, I don't want to get involved in this whole thing now, but that's why Hotzah's malacha gruahi, the Rishonim call it. Because it didn't really do so much. All it did is brought the key from A to B, point A to point B. So too says the Har Tzvi, Tzah doesn't do anything to the object. It just makes it that it can't go anywhere else. So what makes tzad significant? So the Avnei Nezer says what makes tzad significant is that it's important to me. People want the item. So if it's important to me, it's chashuv to me that I have this animal here, so then it's important. So he says that's the rule of yesh b'mino nitzot or ein b'mino nitzot. If people normally trap it, so then this trapping is significant. If people don't normally trap it, so the trapping is insignificant. All I did was a mouse with a cup. That's what he says is the explanation for the rule of yesh b'mino nitzod versus ein b'mino nitzod.
So that again.
So I think an extension of that would be to say that it's not institutionalized versus, you know, species. Do people trap this? Do people not trap that? It would be individual. If I have in mind the constructive purpose, then it's tzad. If I don't have in mind the constructive purpose, perhaps the Rambam extends that idea. The Gemara is the rule of ein b'mino nitzod, yesh b'mino nitzod. So I mean, it is explained, why should that be so? Because only if it's a type of animal that people would normally trap, so then it becomes significant. The Rambam might be taking that a step further and saying that if I personally don't have a constructive purpose in mind, that's not so. We also mentioned last time that in order to be chayv midoraisa, I have to put it in a place where I could reach it in one grabbing or one attempt. B'chad shechya. However, it says in Shulchan Aruch that it's also midorabanan even if it's in a bigger space. If I've restricted the movement of the animal, it's also even midorabanan. The sefer on Hilchos Shabbos called Chut Hashani by Nissen Karelitz. So he explains there that even that issa midorabanan is only if the animal feels somewhat trapped. If the animal can't even tell that it's trapped, such a big expanse, its movement is not restricted at all, that's not even asa midarabanan, that's mutar midaraisa. That's mutar even midarabanan. So it's three categories. If it's totally restricted that I can reach it right away, I'm chay midaraisa. If it's somewhat restricted, it's asa midarabanan. If it's not restricted at all, it's heta gama.
What's that, how do you know what the animal
feels restricted or not? I don't know. I think
to try to escape.
I don't know. I don't know. You know, in the zoos now, it's in vogue to make them not feel trapped. So maybe they make this such a big things, you know. If the animals from Africa, they build it, makes it look like Africa. I don't know. So is that called feeling trapped? I would think yes. But I don't know. No, but let's say you have a fly. We'll talk about this. You know, let's say you have a fly in a house. Is a fly in a house called trapped? It could fly around just as much. I don't know if it feels restricted in a house. In a cup, it probably feels restricted. But I don't know. I agree with you. It's somewhat vague. But let's say I have an animal which is trapped in the category midrabanan. Let's say you have a deer trapped, you know, in its cell over there in the Bronx Zoo. So I don't think you could catch the deer in one grabbing, but it probably feels somewhat trapped, so it's also midrabanan. Now to go and trap it from there so that I could reach it in one attempt, that would be also midaraisa, because it's really nothing midaraisa. Right now it's open, I can't reach it. So to take it from the midrabanan category to the daraisa category would be also midaraisa. But let's say I take the deer from a huge expanse in the Bronx Zoo. I used to get the choshev, you know, shtel over there. And now we put it in a smaller one. But I still can't jump on it in one attempt. Still has some midrabanan. So that's mutter. So we'll talk about that. Let's say you have a fly in a house. To close it in one room would be mutter, because you still can't catch a fly with one attempt. Even if the fly would be considered trapped in the house. So that brings us to the topic really for today, which is closing the door on the deer. The Mishnah says in Shabbos that Tzvi Shenichnas L'Bayis, if you have a deer runs into the house and someone closes the door after the deer to trap it, say Yischayev. The Rambam says that's a tolda though. The Rambam says that's not the Av Malach of Tzad. The Av Malach of Tzad is if I would chase after the deer. I catch the deer, biyadayim, that's an av malacha. I chase after the deer, and then close the door, that's the av malacha. But if the deer runs in by itself, and then I close the door, that's not the av malacha, that's a tolda. It's chayv midaraisa, but it's only a tolda. The Avnei Nezer asks, why should it only be a tolda? So he says, because it's not Dumi de Mishkan. How is the Malach of Tzad done in the Mishkan? They did something to the animal, biyadayim. Or you chased it into the house and then closed the door. That's also like doing something to the animal, biyadayim. If I just closed the door after it walked in by itself, I didn't really do anything to the animal. So that can't be the Av Malacha. That's only similar to the Malacha. It's a Tolna. The Yireim argues, and the Yireim feels that when I close the door, that is the Av Malacha. What about the fact that it's not similar to the Mishkan? In the Mishkan, I touched the animal, I did something to it. Here, what did I do? All I did was close the door after it. So the Avnei Nezer explains, it must be that the Yireim feels a tremendous chiddush, that the door somehow becomes part of the animal. When I close the door, it's like doing something to the animal. So that could even be an Av Malacha, which I don't think we pass it like that, but that could have a tremendous nafkamina for something we're going to discuss in a few minutes. That's what he says, the door becomes bustle to the animal. It's like putting a net around it.
So you are doing something to that.
That's what the Yireim considers. Closing the door is like putting a net on it. I think it's a big chiddush.
Why
would you say that?
Why did it have to be touching the animal?
That's the way it was done in the Mishkan. Doesn't necessarily have to be that way, but that's the way it seems to be done in the Mishkan. So, avos malachos are usually patterned after the Mishkan. So Ram feels it's not the same, it's a tolda. And the Ram feels it is the same. Because the door is like putting a net on it.
But again, when you put a net on, you touch the animal.
I agree with you. I think the Ram makes more sense. The Ram is
Oh,
you think it's the same? But I didn't touch the animal. The animal ran in, it's in the kitchen right now, and then I closed the front door. That's called touching the animal? Okay, I think, I hear both. Okay, that's the machlokes between the Rambam and the Yireim. Okay. I'm not going to take sides on the Rambam and the Yireim, but I think that if I would have asked me, I would have said the Rambam. I think that's easier to justify. The Mishnah says, let's say if a person also blocks the door, if I the deer runs into the house and I stand in the doorway, I block it, so then I'm chayiv, I've trapped the animal. But let's say one person is standing there and another person comes and stands, takes his place. There's a Rishon, the Rishon leaves, and the second guy comes. So the Mishnah says, only the first guy is chayiv. So the Rashash there is, what do you mean only the first guy is chayiv? The first guy left, then the second guy came. Why isn't the second guy? The first guy now left, he was chayiv, then he left, and the second guy comes, he should be chayiv. So the Rashash says, we must be talking about where each guy is standing in half the doorway. The deer needs the whole doorway to get out. So then the first guy standing in one half the doorway. Second guy comes, he takes the other half. Then the first guy leaves, but still the deer can't get out. So the deer was never free in the interim. So that's why only the first guy is chayiv. Because the second guy didn't add anything. The Tosfos Yontif, though, on the Mishnayos, who preceded the Rosh Hash, says that no. It's talking about where the guy walked into the house. One guy is standing by the doorway, he walks in, and right away, you know, without the, let's say you have a guy standing in front of the doorway, a guy comes and stands behind him while he's still standing there. Then the first guy walks into the house. He doesn't need to stand there anymore. So since the second guy, again, didn't add anything, that's why only the first guy is chayiv. But let's say the first guy would walk away, and now the second guy would come, the second guy would be chayiv. What is all of this relevant to? This is relevant to, let's say, a person has an animal in their house, or we discussed last time domesticated pets. So if the pet is totally domesticated, then there's no tzad. It's like nitzad va'omed. But let's say you have a semi-domesticated pet. If you would open the door, it might run out into the backyard. Or you have a bird in a cage. Birds, I don't think they get domesticated to that degree. I don't know, but it could be they do. But it could be they do sometimes. They get trained. More trained?
Wings are clipped.
Oh, wings are clipped, so it can't go anywhere. So how do you open the door? So the Bialacha quotes this Tosfos Yontif, and he thinks we passing like that. That every time I open, then the problem is every time I open the door. Let's say I have a door closed on the dog, right? And the dog's going to run out, semi-domesticated. And I open the door. Now I want to close the door. So when I open the door, the animal could have run out. Now when I close the door, I should be chayiv for closing the door. So Bir Halacha says a person has to be very careful when you have this type of undomesticated pet in your house to open the door in a permissible way. What is called a permissible way? So the Acharonim have two chaps, I guess you could call them. Number one is I could stand in the doorway. As I open the door, I could stand in the doorway. Walk out, continue to stand in the doorway, and then close the door. But at no point is the doorway effectively open then. Or you could have, you know, a fancy anteroom situation. You know, you could, if you're constructing your house anew, you could have one door and then a second door. So at no point is either or both doors open. But you'd have to negotiate it in a permissible way. Yeah?
I didn't understand the practical difference between the Shash and Tosfos Yontif.
There really isn't. They both agreed to the same principle, which is that once, even though the animal was once trapped, if I now will open the door, if I want to close the door, I would be chayiv.
There's any point in between where I was able to get out.
Right.
Okay.
They both agreed to that principle. The Magen Avraham disagrees. And the Magen Avraham, this is what the Bir Halacha is coming to disagree with. The Magen Avraham argues on the Tosfos Yontif, and he feels that if the animal was once trapped, he says it's even talking about where the first guy walked away. And then the second guy came and filled the hole. Filled the doorway. There was a period of time when the animal could have gotten away. Doesn't make a difference. If the animal was once trapped, the first trapping doesn't automatically disappear just because the door is open. Why not? In the Sefer Shalmei Nissan by Rav Nissen Kaplan, on the Melach of Tzad, he explains, based on a suffix that the Bir Halacha has. Bir Halacha, the beginning of Shin Tes Zayin, which is the Siman about Tzad, has a suffix. What if I put an animal in a room and don't close the door? Is that usher or not? Because the animal is not really trapped. I mean, it is trapped. It's in the place where it could be trapped, just I haven't yet closed the door. So is a room with an open door called trapped, or is it not called trapped? There's a suffix about that. Huh? That's Bir Halacha has the suffix. Bir Halacha has the suffix. So, Reb Nissen Kaplan says, it appears that the Magen Avraham feels he would be chayiv in such a case. Because the first trapping, he feels that the Magen Avraham is a compromise. If it was once trapped, the door was closed, just because I open the door now, the first trapping hasn't gone away, because it's still somewhat called trapped. You might not be chayiv if I just put it in there and I never close the door ever, because then that's not trapped. But if it was once closed and now I opened it, that's not called undoing the trapping, because it's still somewhat trapped. A room with an open door is not necessarily nothing. And the Tosfos Yontif feels once the door is opened, it's nothing. It's generally assumed that we pass in like the Tosfos Yontif. So if a person has a pet, which is not totally tamed or not totally subservient, so then you have to try and negotiate opening the door in one of these ways. Two other etzos are brought by the Shmir Shabbos Kalchas. He says if you have such a pet, yeah.
Let's say the animal's at the other side of the house or the other side of the room.
Right.
If you open the door for like
it won't notice.
Sorry?
Yeah.
If you open the door for like 5 seconds, if you left the door open for a while, it would be able to run out. And for the 5 seconds the door is open.
He's saying it's not like it's open because it couldn't have gotten out.
In that time period.
Probably. It has to be able to have gotten out. If it couldn't have gotten out, then the door is not open vis-a-vis the...
So the entire issue is that the animal is near, just like near the door, or if they're there for a while?
I guess so. Yeah. Shmuel Shabbos has two other eights. It's kind of applicable to what you were talking about. He says, let's say He says, first of all, let's say I open the door, but the animal knows if it tries to make a run for the door, I'll slam it before it ever gets there. I could be it's open for an hour, but the animal knows that if it goes there, it's going to be consequences. So there's pachad. So the Shmir Shabbos Kachatz says he thinks that's okay. That's called the door being closed, because the animal's not going to make a run for it. It should be same svara. Or he says, let's say the animal is sleeping. So again, the animal is not able to make a run for it, is not going to make a run for it. He says, let's say I know the animal is distracted, you know, I throw the ball that way, and then I make a run for the door. So he says, no, he doesn't think that in the Guf HaSefer, he says, he thinks it works, then he retracts, and the Chayil Gimel, that it has to be the animal sleeping. Can't be that he's just distracted. But again, I think that means it could have made a run for the door. If it had followed me and not the ball, could have made a run for the door. But if it's not going, I know it's not going to, or can't, door's not open for long enough. I would think that's like blocking the door.
Right, because when it's sleeping, it's considered mitzvah
omen. Right. Right. Even though you're not allowed to trap a sleeping animal, but here, where it's already in the house, I think it is.
Well, that's why you said that if you threw the ball, if you knew it would go and chase the ball, then you didn't think that would be a problem?
It's distracted. I was just giving an example. If I know it's distracted, so Shmir Shabbos Kalchasa vacillates on that point. First, he says he thinks that it's not a problem, then he says no, he thinks it has to be sleeping, out. Just distracted isn't good enough. I don't know why one would say either way, but what the point of vacillation is. But the Bir Halacha does throw in, though, that this chumrah, that we are not, we don't follow the Magen Avraham, is only if the tzeda is a doraisa type tzeda. If I could have gotten it b'chad shichya, one attempt. If it's only derabanan, and my ikar kavana as I'm closing the door is not to trap the animal, I have to go to shul. So I open the door and close the door. So then we could be make like the Magen Avraham, that if it was once trapped, then I don't have to worry about closing the door again. So Shami Nisan extends this. Let's say I have a fly in the house. So also, even if that is considered trapped, I might say that that's not trapped at all. But even if it is somewhat trapped, since it's only the Rabbanon, and that's not what my kavana is for, I don't have to worry that I'm trapping the fly as I leave the house. But this is only if it was once trapped. Let's say to close it for the first time. So then it sounds like even though it's only midrabanan, and I don't have in mind for that, that's a psikreshe. Okay, so it's a davishen miskavin with a psikreshe. When I close the door, the animal is going to be trapped. And it wasn't once trapped. If it was once trapped, okay, but let's say I saw the fly fly in. And now I'm trapping it for the first time, even though that's not what I have kavana for. It should be also midrabanan. So the Mishnah Berurah, though, quotes from Chai Adam, beginning of Shin Tazayin, that if I'm closing the door because it's cold outside, or for other reason that I need the door closed for security purposes, so we are mako because of psikreshe on the derabanan b'makom tsar, we're mako b'makom kor, it's cold, and this might even be a double derabanan. It might be a psikreshe on a trade derabanan, because if it's only in an area where it's trapped midrabanan, I've restricted its movement somewhat, but not entirely. And it's aim b'mino nitzar, people don't catch flies, usually for constructive purposes. So it's a trade derabanan. There are some achronim that I make on a psikreshe by a trade derabanan without the tsar or without the kor. Yeah, so if you have the fly that comes into the house, could be that it's all, I'm closing the door for security reasons or for the cold, and it could be that it's, so then it should be mutter. And it could be it's aim b'min, it could be it's a trade the rabbanon, it's aim b'min or nitzod, and it's only trapped mid rabbanon. And that's not what I have in mind for when I close the door. But also the Shalmei Nissen quotes from Rabbi Neuwirth that he thinks a fly in a house is not called trapped. Well, I think with all those three, you don't have to worry about the fly in the house. What is more of an issue is a person who's really bothered with the fly. So they trap, they open the window, and then it flies into the screen. And then when it's at the screen, you slam the window shut. So now it's stuck in between the screen and the window. So there, if my carvana is all of a sudden I decide to close the window because it's cold, so then you'd have the same stardom that we had before. You know, let's say the fly won't leave the screen, and I'm cold, so I can close the window. I can close the window because I don't have a mind for it. It's aim b'mino nitzod. I'm not even sure you could reach the fly with one attempt, even in that little confined space. So it still might only be midrabanon. But what if I have kavana to catch the fly? I want the fly out. So that should be also. You're not allowed to do that. Because that's not a psikreshe. That's what I'm doing. But the Mishnah Berurah has an important rule that if there's room for the animal to get out, that's like the door being open. It's not trapping. I'm not trapping the animal if there's a hole that it could fly out of. Yeah, so there's a hole in the screen. The fly might not find the hole. So we would assume that the Mishnah Berurah says even though the fly might not find the hole, if the fly could find the hole, let's say in order, you know, it was a maze and you had to, the fly had to, would have to be extremely intelligent to find the hole, and we know flies are not that intelligent, so that's called trapped. But if it is possible for the fly to find the hole, so that's not trapped, so then you would be able to do it. But otherwise, to trap a fly in the screen would be also.
The doggy door.
Oh, yeah, no problem at all. Right. Right. On this issue of closing the door, there's a famous Shitas HaRashba, which some bring halacha l'maisa. Rashba feels that, let's say I see the deer run into my house, and I'm closing the door because I'm going to shul, but I also would like to catch the deer. So he says that's permissible. As long as I have kavana as well, just to close the door, not to catch the deer. So the Ran asks, he says, even if you would not have had kavana to catch, the Rashba is even talking about if I had kavana for both. The Ran says, even if I would only have kavana just to close the door and not have kavana for the deer at all. So at best it's a davar sheino miskaven with a psik reshe. It would still be aser. If I have kavana for the deer, certainly it's aser. That's a davar miskaven. So the Ran disagrees with this Rashba. And the Magen Avraham quotes it here in Shin Tes Zayin, and he says you shouldn't rely on the Rashba. The Shildei HaGiborim, though, explains what the Rashba meant to say there on the side of the Ran. He says the Rashba means the following. He means to say that a Maisa, it's a Chiddush, that a Maisa Isser, a Maisa Heter, cannot also be a Maisa Isser. We have to label every action either as a permissible action or a prohibited action. It only gets one label. So if I can label this action, I have Kavana to just to close the door of my house, which I'm allowed to do on Shabbos. So that gets labeled as a Maisa Heter. Could be because that's my Iker Kavana. I think that it could be because of that. But the fact that I'm also happy about the fact I also want to trap the deer, that can't, there's no room. There's no room for that anymore because it's already labeled as a Maisa Heter, not as a Maisa Iser. He says the Rashba, he said he always had a Chiddush that he wanted to say, and the Rashba is a Kal V'chomer to his Chiddush. Meaning if the Rashba is right, certainly he is right. What did he want to say? He wanted to say the following. He wanted to say it's only called a psik reshe, let's say a person is doing something, which might bring about the second result, which he doesn't have in mind for. So we say, okay, but if it always happens, that's called a psik reshe. And that's also too. He says, what if that psik reshe is not inherent in the action that I'm doing now? Let's say I'm doing action A, which might or might not bring about action B. Let's say it will for sure bring about action B. That's a psik reshe. But A doesn't always carry with it the result of B. In this instance, it does. But it doesn't always happen like that. Every time you drag a bench, you don't always make a charitz. In this instance, I might know it's going to make a charitz. So that's a psik reshe. He says, but is it really a psik reshe if it doesn't happen every single time? Maybe it has to happen every single time to be called a psik reshe. This is more famous. Rashi says this chiddush in Zvachim regarding something else. Rashi is talking about the person who brings volunteers to bring wine al gabi hamizbeach. So the Gemara says you can sprinkle it on the ishim, on top of the coals. So Gemara asks, how can you sprinkle the wine on top of the coals? Pasuk says, Eish tamid tu karo mizbeach lo sichbe. You're not allowed to put out the fire of the coals. And when you sprinkle wine, you're going to put out some of the fire. So Gemara says, no, it's permissible according to Reb Shimon, that a davar she'eino miskaven is mutter. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it might be also. So Rashi there asks, but isn't it psik reshe? Every time you sprinkle the wine, it's going to put out some of the coals. So Rashi says, no, but you could have done it with small drops. Tipin dakos. The fact that I do use big drops, that's called the davar she'eino miskaven. That's not called the psik reshe. Yeah, but if you're using big drops, it is a psik reshe. It's for sure going to happen. I'm not using small drops. Why is it relevant that I could have used small drops? So the way Rashi is generally understood is that it's only called a psik reshe if this action always brings about this result. But if I could have done it in a different way, I could have sprinkled small drops, and instead I sprinkle big drops, even though the big drops will for sure produce some sort of kibui, doesn't make a difference. Because this secondary action does not always have to follow from the primary action. Why should that not be called the psik reshe? So just, yeah?
How is this a kavachomer from the Rashba?
Oh, we're going to get to that. Okay. Why should this not be called the psik reshe? So it's generally understood that this has something to do with the general lomdis of psik reshe. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in the Kovish Shurman Beitza, I think. Ksuvis has his chakira. What's the pshat in a psik reshe? Is a pshat that when I know action, the primary action, is going to bring about a secondary action, is a pshat that I'm now mechaven for the secondary action, because it's always going to happen. So it's a davar ha-miskaven. Or is the pshat that no, I'm miskaven for A, but A is not separate from B. The primary action is not separate from the secondary action, because it always happens. So it becomes like one big action, chad ma'isa. So I'm mechaven for part of the ma'isa, not for the other part. Doesn't help. It's all one big action. Everybody's familiar with this chakira. So he fits this into whether or not psik reisha lo nichalei is aser or not, because I didn't have in mind for the secondary action. So if it's one big action, I don't care. But if it's because I'm mechaven, if I'm in truth not mechaven, doesn't make a difference. So based on that lumnus of Rabbi Chanan, one could say that that's the pshat here too. If the pshat is that we view the whole thing as one conglomerate big ma'isa, it's no longer A that will bring about B. I hate to use language like this, but it's A slash B. It's one big, yeah, it's a hybrid. It's one big ma'isa. So if that's the case, perhaps that's only if it always comes like that. If it doesn't always come like that, so I can't call it chad ma'isa. In this case, it's chad ma'isa, but it doesn't have to be chad ma'isa. So that's the chiddush of Rashi in the Shaltei Giborim, that if it doesn't always come like that, that's not called a psik reishe. But here I know for sure it's going to happen. Just I could have used small drops. Yeah, but you're not using small drops. You're using big drops.
With the small drops,
I might not have put it out. But I didn't use small drops. I used big drops. Yeah, okay. So the answer is because since I could have used small drops, you can't join A and B together because they don't necessarily always have to go together. So why is this a kal v'chomer to the Rashba? Because here the Shaltei Giborim is saying, if I don't have in mind for the secondary action, all I have in mind is for the primary action, those two cannot blend together. That's talking about if I don't have in mind. The Rashba is saying that even if I do have in mind, even if I have in mind to close the door, not only to close the door, but to trap the tzvi, to trap the deer, since every time I close the door, I don't trap a deer, there's not always a deer in my house. So the Maisa Tzad and the Maisa Skiras Hadelas don't blend in. It's what we have to pick one. So if my Iker Kavana is to close the door, the secondary Kavana is irrelevant. So the Rashba says that even if I am Mechaven for it, the Shulchan Aruch says if I'm not Mechaven. Okay, not Mechaven, it's not called the Psik Reishe. The Rashba is saying every Maisa gets one subheading, Isser or Heter. And this already got labeled as a Maisa Heter. Some Achronim say a different explanation for the Rashba. The Avnei Nezer and the Chalkas Yoav. The Chalkas Yoav is a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer, but he says the same explanation, I think, on his own. And others say this is this explanation in the Rashba. That we know there's some types of malachos that complete themselves independently. A person throws seeds on the ground. He can't do anything to make the things grow. I mean, you can aid the growth, but I can't actively make the seeds grow. Has to grow by itself. I do my ma'isa and the malacha happens by itself. Or Zorah, you throw the stuff up in the wind, and the wind makes the malacha happen. So some feel that Seda is also to be included in that category of the malacha that happens by itself. Chazon Ish has a diuk in Tosfos in the first parak of Shabbos that if I put out a trap, even if the animal doesn't come the minute I put out the trap. I put out a trap. An animal vackles by an hour later, falls into the trap, and gets trapped. I'm chayv mishum tzad. Even though it happened by itself. Why am I chayiv? I didn't do anything. So it could be that the Avnei Nezer, I didn't do the malacha biyadayim. So it could be that the Avnei Nezer feels that what makes me chayiv is the fact that I had kavana for the malacha. The Gemara says in Shabbos, by Zorah, that Hazara Baruch Mesayas, if I throw it up into the air, even though I didn't do the Malacha B'Yadayim, and in Ezekiel it would have been considered Grama, Meleches Machsheves Asur Torah. And Rashi says that I have Kavana for the Malacha. Since I have Kavana for the Malacha, even though it was really Grama, I'm Chayev. So it could be along those lines is the Shita Sarashba. That since every tzad happens by itself, what makes me chayev? The fact that I had kavana for the animal to be nitzod. So too by closing the door, says the Rashba. I'm not doing a malacha to the animal itself. I'm closing the door. Most malachas Shabbos happen through my hands. I do the malacha b'yadayim. Here, I close the door and the malacha happens. I didn't touch the animal. What makes me chayev? So it's like grama. It's not grama. It's maisa. But it's like grama in that I didn't do the malacha b'yadayim. So Ashba feels in order to be chayev on Shabbos, you have to do the malacha b'yadayim. What makes me chayev by tzad then? I close the door. That's a mishnah on Shabbos. If I close the door, I'm chayev. Says Ashba, because I had kavana for the tzad. But if it's only my secondary kavana, so then my kavana is diluted. So Rashba feels in such a case, you can't be chayev. It's only if that's my primary kavana, is to close the door, then that elevates my ma'isa to be a ma'isa tzad. If it's watered down, it's not my primary intention, then the malacha reverts to being a grama, or something that I didn't do b'yadayim. Yeah.
It's not exactly similar to the other cases where you're right. Because in those cases, as soon as your involvement is over, the malach hasn't been completed, but here, as soon as your involvement
right.
is over, the malach is
the chiddush of the Rashba, above and beyond those other malachos, is that those malachos, or tzad in a trap, the malacha happens by itself. Here, I'm closing the door, that is the malacha. But the Rashba is adding is that perhaps closing the door is like it's happening by itself because I didn't do it b'yadayim, I didn't touch the animal. Mm-hmm. That's the chiddush of the Rashba. It's arguable. I think it's extremely arguable. Right, so if that was hinting to, if you say like the Urayim, the Rashba, you can't say like the Rashba and the Urayim. The Urayim says that's like a mice on the animal. Here it's not a mice, the Rashba feels it's not a mice on the animal, and that's what makes it into this new category that I need kavana. If I don't have kavana for it, then that's not, I'm not chayv mishum tzad. It could be just, you know, in parentheses, it could be this is the Shitas Rambam too, the Rambam held the kavana plays a central role in tzad. Could be this not because tzad doesn't change the animal. It could be because tzad, I'm not doing anything to the animal b'yadayim. Either it happens by itself, or I just closed the door and I didn't touch the animal. So it could be that's why tzad plays a crucial role. But the post can bring up this Rashba with regards to walking in front of a video camera on Shabbos or motion sensors on Shabbos. The person's walking along their way. And lo and behold, there's a motion sensor that this person set up in front of their house, which is going to turn on their front lights. So I'm just walking along. I'm just walking. That's like closing the door. And this person has something attached to his thing, which is going to notice me and then turn on the lights. So even though most poskim are not prepared to be make like the Rashba, even if I have in mind for it, if I don't have in mind for it at all, Not that it's a secondary intention. I don't have a mind for it at all. Then they're more sensitive or they're more sympathetic to the case of the Rashba. The Ran would disagree even if I didn't have a mind for it at all because it's a psik reshe. But some of the poskim are more in tune with the Rashba, at least if I didn't have a mind for it. Because tzad is, I'm not doing a malacha b'yadayim. I didn't do anything b'yadayim. What makes it into a malacha? If I'm not touching the item, b'yadayim, what makes it into a malacha is the fact that I had intention for the malacha. But if I don't have intention either, I'm just walking. Or it could be we label this as a ma'isa heter, not as a ma'isa iser. If I have kavana for it, they're not willing to go that far. They started with the shilta giborim, that if I don't have a mind for it, at least, it's a ma'isa heter, not a ma'isa iser. At first I thought, yeah, but I don't think so. I think for the Shilta Giborim would also be...
You're
right. I would have said yes, but the poskim do extend. Rav Shechter extends it. He thinks this is his main heter for walking in front of the video cameras they have here on Yeshiva, is because he thinks any time I'm not doing malacha, that malacha is kosev, it's not sad. Even though any time I'm not doing malacha biyadayim, I haven't touched the item. So he feels Rashba is not local to tzad. Anytime I haven't touched the item, I blurred that line. But it could be that the Rashba is the general rule. Anytime I haven't touched the malacha, the item, I'm just walking in front of a video camera. The only way that could be considered a malacha is if that is what I have in mind for.
It's the same rule as malacha
b'shev al taisa. Malacha b'shev al taisa, I presume he had some sort of physical contact with it. But there I lit the candle. Just when Shabbos comes, I'm b'shev al taisa. And here, I didn't do anything. I'm just walking. So they view that. It's more and less. I'm walking, but I'm not touching the item b'yadayim. So the poskim who quote the Rashba outside of the context of tzad are either going with the Shulte Giborim. They can only be labeled as a Maizah Het, they're not a Maizah Isser, at least if I don't have Kavana for the secondary application. Or because they feel this is a general rule, and anything I'm not touching b'yadayim, if I don't have Kavana, that's nothing. I would have preferred to say it's local to tzad, but so Shata thinks that's the best Het with the video cameras. And Zalman Nechemia Goldberg in the journal Ateres Shlomo, with Zeichon Nishmas and Shlomo Zalman Orbach, also has this combination of factors. And one of his combination of factors in being Mekel is the Rashba. This is, I'm not doing it biyadayim, if I don't have Kavana for it, it should be permissible. Rabbi Bleich, just to end off the discussion, and something that we mentioned in the past, Rabbi Bleich has an article in the fifth volume of Contemporary Halachic Problems where he also discusses the video cameras. He doesn't like extending the Rashba to this context, but he quotes a different heter for walking in front of perhaps a motion sensor or video camera, and that is based on something that we mentioned when we were learning Dush. The Ralbah Gala Torah says that anything that animals do cannot be considered a Melech HaShabbos. Melech HaShabbos has to be something that distinguishes, it's a higher level type of Maisa. If animals do it, that's an inferior Maisa. That can't be called Melech HaShabbos. So the Achronim ask, and the Ralbag, already in the footnotes of the Ralbag, they ask, but what are you talking about? Animals do tzad, animals kill, Ntilas Neshama, animals do dash, animals do a lot of the Melechas that we do. So we explained at the time that it could be that we do malachos not for instant gratification purposes. An animal does a malacha, if they don't have a whole series in mind. They're going to do dash, then borer, then dash, ma'amer, borer. They don't do things like that. People do things with a seder, with consequences in mind. Animals do things for instant gratification. But the Yisod of the Ralbag could be true, that Malacha, in order to be considered Malacha Shabbos, it has to be something that animals do not do. So Rabbi Bleich makes the following argument. It could be that anything that's just a plain Maisa, a person walks along the street, animals walk along the street. So since what he's doing is something that animals would do, that's not a highly sophisticated Maisa. That can't be Malacha Shabbos. Interesting argument. In order to be Melech HaShabbos, it has to be more sophisticated than that. So if we're walking along the street and setting off a motion sensor, would be permissible. Okay.